This morning, our scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This morning, I want to share with this congregation and friends, where are you, God? Where are you? We love stories about answered prayers. We get a thrill hearing accounts of God's miraculous interventions in people's lives. Even as God has intervened here at the Mount Olivet Baptist Church, it motivates us to be more diligent about prayer, so we pray. We are specific, we are confident, we are bold. We are absolutely convinced God will answer prayer. We feel a level of faith and enthusiasm that we have never experienced before. We ask, we seek, and we knock. But where is God? The thing that we wanted does not materialize. Our zeal is crushed, and we wonder what happened. We ask ourselves and God, is it worth it? Did I do something wrong? Does God even hear me? Does God even care? This becomes our attitude. We don't receive what we asked for. Cable television mogul Ted Turner, who is now one of the loudest voices criticizing Christianity, said he had a strict Christian upbringing. He even considered becoming a missionary at one point in his life. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution quoted him as saying that he was saved 7 or 8 times in his life. But he said he became disenchanted with Christianity when, despite his prayers that his sister would get well, his sister still died. My brothers and sisters, God's no is not just limited to those who are living sinful lives. No matter how spiritual you and I may be, there are going to be times that God says no to our prayers. Doesn't matter how much you have sacrificed or endured for the cause of Christ. Ask Paul, who endured so much. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28, it records that Paul received 39 lashes on his back for the sake of the gospel. He was beaten with rods 3 times for the sake of the gospel. He was stoned 1 time for the sake of the gospel. And remember, when they stoned people, it was usually done by groups. He was shipwrecked 3 times in travels for the sake of the gospel. He was thrown in the belly of a ship for a day and a night for the sake of the gospel. He had to take many dangerous trips among highwaymen and robbers for the sake of the gospel. He had to travel through dangerous rivers for the sake of the gospel. He often found himself in danger from his own people for the sake of the gospel. He was in danger from the Gentiles. He was in danger in the city. He was in dangers in the wilderness. He was in danger from false Christians for the sake of the gospel. He suffered toil and hardships. He spent sleepless nights. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was cold. And he was naked, all for the sake of the gospel. It does not matter, either how much you have accomplished for the cause of Christ. There will be times that it feels like God is not there, that God has turned a deaf ear to your request. Again, Paul is an example of one who had accomplished a great deal for God. He has started many new churches, written down portions of the Bible, and trained young pastors and missionaries. But even for him, there were times that God was silent. Times where he wondered, where is God when I need him? If it happened to Paul, it will certainly happen to you and me. So how are we going to respond when it happens in our lives? How are we going to make it through? And I just want to share how we ought to respond based on our text when we find ourselves going through situations where it seems like God says no to our heartfelt desires. First thing our text helps us to see is we must treat our trials as a gift from God. Remember, the text says that Paul said this thorn was given to him. We can treat them as a nuance, a nuisance to be ignored and just hope that it goes away, that problems will solve themselves, that noise in the car, or the numbness in your left arm, or the bills that you receive and immediately throw into the trash can. You don't pray about them because you refuse to even acknowledge their existence. You can treat them as a punishment to be endured. I deserve everything that I am getting. You just grin and bear it. You can treat them as a problem to be solved or a battle to be waged. Are you going to fight against God? Or, as Paul would have us to respond, as a gift to be accepted. Acceptance is the issue. The point of prayer is to get God's will accomplished on earth, not man's will accomplished in heaven. Remember, gifts bring joy. James 1:2 writes, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces patience." Gifts come from people who love us. Gifts, at least the best ones, come from people who know you. The best gift you and I have received came from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. We must treat our trials as a gift from God. And then, my brothers and sisters, we must remember what God has already said. The text records and says, surpassing great revelations. When God does not seem to be saying anything, we can rest in the confidence on what God has already said. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood when all around my soul gives way. He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Think about some of the surpassing great revelations that God has given to us. All we have to do is go back to the book of Psalms. Listen as the writers struggle with their own questions about unanswered prayers and a God that seems far away. Listen to them complain over the fact that at the time when they needed God the most, when they needed to see God's face, that his face seemed to be hidden. And then listen to them find confidence in the promises of God that will never change, no matter how our world may be changing all around us. Remember the scripture that Tierra read, "The Lord is my light and he is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life in whom shall I be afraid? No matter what you and I face, that promise never changes. But then we must continue praying to God. The text says that Paul, three times he pleaded. In other words, Paul's prayer was persistent, but most importantly, it was passionate. When Paul talked about praying three times, that does not mean that he casually prayed over this need three times and then quit. It does not mean that he added an addendum at the end of his breakfast, lunch, and dinner prayers. Thanks for this food, God, and oh yeah, if you would be so kind, please take away this problem that I have. No, Paul pleaded with God. The word that is translated pleaded is the same word that is used to describe the way that Jairus asked for healing of his daughter who was dying. It was how a leper sought cleansing from his leprosy. And it was how a servant begged his master for mercy over a bill that he owed so that he would not be thrown into prison and separated from his family. I ask you, how would you pray if your daughter was dying? How would you pray if your limbs were being destroyed with leprosy? How would you pray if you were getting ready to be separated from your family that you love because of a debt that you owed? How would you pray if you found out a loved one was diagnosed with cancer? The first response that many people give when God does not come through for them is that they give up on God or they give up on prayer. And that is before they ever get to the pleading level. They may have hinted, they may have suggested, they may have even asked, but they have not pleaded. And it may very well be that God is just waiting until you and I are flat on our face before him, laying it all on the line, humiliating ourselves in his eyes before he will give you the answer to your prayer. The Bible records God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. The only reason that Paul quit praying this particular request was because God gave him an answer. It just so happened that the answer was no. Paul accepted that answer and continued on with his life. Growing up at my home church, I was taught in Sunday school to push. Push was the acronym that was used to describe what we should do when we face certain circumstances. And it simply means pray until something happens. Don't give up praying until something happens, either to change your situation or to change you. There was a little boy told his teacher one day that he had lost his marble. He asked if he could have prayer that God would enable him to find his marble. She was a Christian, and so she agreed. The next day, she hesitantly asked the boy if he had found his marble. He answered, "No, ma'am, but God took away my desire for it." Then, my brothers and sisters, we must listen for God's voice. What Paul heard in the midst of his pleading and the answer he received did not eliminate his problem, but he heard from the Lord when God said, "My grace is sufficient." In the first few days after downing of the Twin Towers, specially trained crews brought in listening devices so they could hear the sound of people trapped inside the rubble. These machines were so sensitive that they could pick up a sound of someone crying out for help, or even the sound of a human heartbeat. The concern of this people was not for revenge or for rebuilding of the towers or even for the country to be united in patriotism. Their only concern was to hear that voice. So many noises were going on all around them that it was difficult to hear the one thing that they needed to hear. There was heavy equipment for moving steel girders, debris was still falling, sirens and F-16s flying overhead. God sometimes has to remove all the other noises from our lives in order for us to be able to hear his voice. We allow so many things to compete for our attention in our lives. We are so busy. There's no time and no motivation to just sit down and listen. Sometimes the only time that we're willing to listen to what God has to say, the only way that he can get us still long enough to get our attention is by knocking the breath out of us. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." It may be that we must be on our faces in sorrow and suffering before we are willing to listen. God can speak through our tears. Listen for his voice. Do not limit where the voice of God might be found. Elijah did not hear it where he expected. He did not hear it in the great wind or the fire or in the earthquake. He heard it in a gentle whisper, a still small voice. God used a little boy by the name of Samuel to cause Eli to hear his voice. If you are waiting for the miraculous, for God to communicate his message to you, you're going to have a long wait. God uses everyday occurrences to show us his desires. In the middle of a crisis, you may hear all kinds of voices telling you what you need to do. God may be saying something to you, but in all the confusion, you cannot sort it out. You cannot understand God's message. One of the principles of biblical interpretation, or even a principle of life, really, is that you interpret difficult or unclear passages by clear passages. As you and I face our struggles, we may feel the need to go in a particular direction, but we are not sure. What should we do? The answer is go to the Bible. Judge what you are feeling by what has already been revealed to you in God's word. What God says to you in your spirit will never conflict what God has already said in his word. And then you and I, we must trust in God's power. God told Paul that his power was made perfect in his weakness. We must trust in God's power and not our own. We must trust in God's understanding and not our own. Paul's question in the midst of all of this, and his reason for even asking God to take this problem away, was because he thought that he could be a more effective servant for God. He could accomplish more for God if God would just heal him. It would make him more powerful. But I guess that's part of the issue. God wanted Paul to be in a position where he was forced to realize and remember that anything of any substance that was accomplished was because of God's power, not because of Paul's power. Paul was in a position where the temptation would have been great for him to start to take credit for some of the things that God had accomplished through his life. And even Paul recognized that the reason that he was given this thorn in the flesh was in order to keep him humble. He needed to remember that he was not battery operated and not self-sufficient. He had to be plugged in to the power source at all times. Trust in God's power when you have none. There have been so many tragedies that have affected families all over the world, even the families of Mount Olivet Baptist Church. Some of those families, many of those families are Christian families. From fire to floods, the effect of this pandemic, they are all wondering whether they will have the strength to carry on without their loved ones. It's times like these when God steps in and says, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." There are physical conditions that people face that cause them to ask, how am I ever going to make it through this? How am I ever going to be used to God, to my family, or to anyone else in the condition that I am in now? And God answers, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you have nagging problems that just will not go away, a pain that will not subside, a child that will not obey, a coworker that will not respect you, a loss that you can't seem to recover from, and you wonder, God, is your power strong enough to enable me to handle this? And his response, my strength is greatest when you are weakest. I can get you through anything. When God chooses not to use his power to alleviate the pain, trust in God's power to see you through the pain. And then finally, serve God right where you are. Paul says, I delight in weaknesses. You want God to change your situation, but did you ever think that God has put you in that situation to use you right in the middle of it? Do not ask God to change things until you have looked for and found how you can minister or in or be changed by the circumstances that you face. God does not do anything without a reason. Joni Erickson Tada had her life forever changed one day. She was diving with some friends and misjudged the depth of the water. She hit her head and then she broke her neck. She was just a teenager, and now she was destined to live her life as a quadriplegic. She could have given up. She could have got mad at God and the world, which she was. For a while she was mad at God and she was mad with the world, but then God did a great work in her life. She took up art. She began to draw and paint. One would ask, how could she do that? She did it by placing the pencil, a paintbrush, in her mouth and using it to produce great artwork. She has broadened her ministry. She has produced music and written books. Did she pray for God to heal her? I'm sure that she did. But God's answer was no. Instead, he is using her disability to bring glory to himself and encouragement to other people. I close by simply saying, God will not grant our every request. He will not take away every pain, because sometimes the benefits of what we go through. But he will always be there to gently wrap us in his arms of love. He will always be there to wipe our tears. He will always be there to give us strength and motivation to live another day. How are you going to respond to God when he says no or does not answer the prayer that you have prayed so hard for? Are you going to push him away? Or are you going to pull him tighter than you ever have before, and let him wrap his loving arms around you? Remember, treat your trials as a gift from God. Remember what God has already said. Continue praying to God. Listen for God's voice. Trust in God's power. And serve God right where you are. The word of God for the people of God. Blessings be to our God. Maybe there's someone in here today on this conference call that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I want to extend an invitation through you through the power of prayer. And I ask that you will repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. It's in the marvelous and matchless name of Jesus the Christ that we say amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, you are saved. If you continue to have questions about this journey, about growing in Christ, don't hesitate to contact myself or the deacons and members of the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. They can direct you in my direction. Amen.